WMHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live at newmusicjunkies.org.
Good morning, beautiful people. Welcome to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk. I'm Babs Rose Ivy. I have the pleasure of talking to one of the most beautiful women on the planet. Hey, Miss Trinity.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you
so
much.
Oh, it's so nice to see you.
I'm so excited to be here. I've told you this before, but you're a legend. You're like a legend in the community. So this is an honor.
No, that's your way.
Everyone knows
that girl is old.
Okay, everyone.
I'm old.
Legend and wise. Yes. Legend and wise.
Actress, writer, director, producer. October 2nd, you launched TDM Productions and TDM Acting Studio for young actors ages 5 through 18, a lifelong dream come true. In November 2019, you won a seat as a councilwoman for the 7th District of West Haven City Council, becoming the youngest person to hold this position. And then, you know, your bio's filled with all kinds of beauty queen, all these kinds of things, these beautiful things. I didn't want to spend the whole hour. I could spend an hour just talking about all your accomplishments. But I thought these were the key things. So how are you?
I am great. When you step into your purpose or you step into what you're supposed to be doing and you feel like a fire, you know, you just feel like a fire that just cannot be extinguished. That's how I feel. So I'm so excited. I'm trying to grip myself. Like, I'm trying to hold on, like, because I feel like this is going to be an amazing ride. But I am good. I am good. Staying healthy and, you know.
The whole line. So are you still on the council or are you still on the West Haven Council?
I'm still on the council, actually, and I'm currently up for re-election. And
are you going to do it or are you?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I kind of sat and thought about it for a minute, but I'm one thing that people don't realize is when you're on the council, you still have to work a full-time job. And so now I just get to do what I love doing and we'll see how this term goes. And then, you know, after that, we'll kind of think about maybe transitioning on or whatever. But I have to say, last time I was elected, I said, I really want and I hope that someone else who runs the next term is younger than me. And now we have a young woman who just won her primary on the council and she just graduated college. So I have to shout that out because legacy is important and carrying on, passing on the torch is important.
I want to see the young people in these seats.
It's important.
Once they get in and they get a flavor for how to do this work, more young people get involved and get inspired. Because us old dogs got to sit down. You know,
Italy. But you guys have the best advice, man. You have the best advice. I'm like, oh, I need some womanly advice today. Let me call someone who is older. I need it. So
yes. Well, you know what? That's just because we live long, child. When you live long, you'll have advice too for young people coming up behind, for young sisters and brothers coming up behind you. So tell me about this acting production company venture. I'm so excited about this. And why is it just for young people? I was talking to other people and they were like, she better offer something for us old dogs because we want to get up in there too and learn how to do some stuff.
It is so funny because as soon as I launched it, I was getting messages like, are you going to do the Boomer edition of this? Because we need to be, we trying to do improv too. What you thought this was, you know?
So we got money.
That's true. So that's something that I'm definitely looking forward to doing in the future as well. But, you know, funny thing is my friend reminded me the other day. She said, do you remember that you used to sign your homework TDM production company in high school? And I said, I did. And she said, yeah. And I thought back to it. And I said, oh my gosh, I used to sign my homework before I turned it in at the bottom, TDM production company. So I knew this was something I always wanted to do, but I did not connect production company with producer. Like I just knew I wanted my own. And then I got to college where I studied acting and my movement for actors professor said to me, Trinae, you're a producer. Whether you know it or not, you're a producer. You have the mind, you have the leadership, you have the creativity of a producer. And I'm grateful for her because she opened that thought up in my mind because I hadn't yet equated production company producer. Mm-hmm. And so in 2020, I had officially, I just said, you know, I felt like I was giving so much of resource to everyone, and I really had a strong goal to establish and create my own and then build up and raise up. And so I established my production company as well as my acting studio. And it's been a long time coming because I was on track to do this last year, but then obviously COVID hit, which halted everything. Mm-hmm. And so now I get to like live out this dream. I sat down with parents. People wanted to know like how you got your SAG card and, you know, how do we make sure it doesn't expire and all these different things. And I was like, wow, these are services that you got to pay for, you know, but it was just my passion to, tell parents the truth about the industry, because I felt like, you know, there were so many scams out there. There's so many things out there that'll take your money from you. But one of the cool things that I'm grateful of, you know, is one of my biggest classes is age 5. I started at 3. I signed with Shirley Grant Management when I was 3, and to this day, God rest her soul, she passed, I think, the beginning of this year or last year, but she was the like pinnacle for discovering young talent. Keisha Knight Pulliam, she booked her The Cosby Show, the Jonas Brothers. I would walk into her home in Jersey, and like it would be like you would see somebody, a young person, and be like, yo, like they're gonna make it because of her. And I wanted to sort of instill the same things that I received to young kids. And also, you know, I've told many of their parents, this is going to be fun, but it's also going to be challenging. It's also going to be worth it because it builds leadership and self-esteem and communication and confidence. And one thing that my parents never made me feel like, they never made me feel like I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And that's when I want to give kids.
Even with acting, because, you know, parents are like, all right, you want to act? Go be an accountant first. Right. First, like
a doctor.
You know, have a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That.
You know what's funny is when I started acting when I was 3, my dad was like the dadager. He brought me everywhere. I had 2 to 3 auditions a week, and I went to a school that worked with me. So my parents really believed in it. My dad's like really into fashion. My mom loves to sing. So like they're very artsy. But when I I've been grateful to be around a community of like, you know, an arts community, even co-op high school where they encourage the arts. But I have had friends and I, you know, who talk about like having a plan B and like, you know, I understand that language. But to be honest with you, when I graduated college, I had a job in my field before my friends who had degrees in the top highest earned degrees. So my friends who had degrees in like communication and like even radiology at one point, they couldn't get jobs. And so there was like a weird shift happening where like artists were working. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage any person and any parent to first of all put your kids in different things, but where their strength is, like that's where their passion is and that's where their prosperity is, and that's money. So you could be totally taking your kid out of something that they're supposed to blossom and shine in, and that they'll put you in a better home or something. I don't know. Pay you bills or pay you back. Pay you back or something.
So Trinae, listen, I'm paying attention to Broadway right now. Broadway is blackety black, black, black. I've never seen that in my whole life. What do you make of that? Like as a young sister who is launching this production company, that must bode well for you saying to young black artists or any artist, like, listen, this is a good time to get in this genre. I mean, are you feeling that?
Yes, absolutely. Like I can't even talk. All of the black shows on Broadway, one night I was just like probably up to like 5 a.m. just reading them, just eating it up, absorbing it, because I'm like, this is real. And this is historical, and this is our time. It is our time. It's our time in media. It's our time in film. It's our time in television. It's our time in theater. We've waited long enough. We've been the minstrels long enough. And I think what's also powerful is that a lot of black people are getting into producing and directing because they realize that's where the capital is. I will never forget when I watched the Tonys one year, and it was The Color Purple. Actually, it was 2016 when Cynthia Erivo won. And the play won, and the whole cast went up, and the three producers came to the mic, and it was like four white men, and then the black cast stood behind them, and that Twitter erupted. That was the year I graduated college. Twitter erupted, and everyone was like, yo, we got to get at the table. Like, we, you know, we're performers, we're actors. That's who we are innately. That's in our culture and our customs, music, moving our hips, dance, singing. But we need to figure out how we can get at the table to make decisions on what goes on Broadway. So to see that happen only 5 years later is such a big deal with New Haven Native, you know, Doug Lyons. Like, there's so many fiery things happening right now. And it's our time. It is our time. And it's so... It's evolutional, and it's like a culmination of the people who came before us, mm-hmm. who fought for us to be here, and then those in the future that we're fighting for.
So how do you find time to sort of, well, how are you going to find time to sort of do all these things and work on your own career, right? Because you're still, you're an actor.
Yeah.
I mean, you can work as an actor.
Yeah.
So how do you how do you make space for all of these hats?
Yeah, that's a really good question. This is something I'm learning today. But my studio and my studio, my production company right now is number one. It is most important to me. Most important to me because it's me establishing the grounding and the framework for my future, you know, for my career. And I sort of feel myself shifting a little bit. Although I love and have a passion for acting, I want to fulfill something else. I want to get into the business side of it. I want to learn more about directing. I've always loved writing. I have a laptop full of screenplays and plays and monologues and poems. So I've always, it's kind of been like a secret passion. Until a powerful black woman I know in New York looked at me. It was silent. She said, "You're a writer." I'm like, how? I ain't even saying that. She said, "You're a writer." I could tell. I could see the images just jumping in your mind. I was like, "You're right." You know, so that is very important to me. One thing that I've learned on the council is management. So I've been able to do that with supportive colleagues. But I still occasionally get, you know, like a call or this is what's happening in the acting world. Are you interested? So I still, you know, get those sorts of things. But I really want to impart. I want to framework this, you know, kind of like what Tyler Perry did. I want to do it a little different. but today in my memories was the grand opening of his studio. And I'm like,
I saw your post.
I was freaking out this morning. Like, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, it's the first day of classes. And I'm going through it. I see Miss Tyson, who I loved dearly and grieved her death. And so glad I got to see her on Broadway in the front row.
She gave me a pen for my birthday some years ago because she was a client of mine when I was in entertainment public relations.
Of course, she was a client of yours, Beth.
She remains one of the most regal women ever.
Oh my gosh.
The earth. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, what a powerful legacy. What a powerful, powerful
legacy.
But
you know, Michael Jai White has come back to Connecticut, to his Connecticut roots, has opened a production studio in Stafford, trying to do one in Fairhaven, in New Haven. So that seems to be what folks are doing.
Yeah, because if we want to see our work and if we want to see the work of the future, that's what we have to do. You know, I was talking to a friend who went through several production companies, several production companies. No. Until, you know, they were like, yo, we're going to have to start our own. We're going to have to create our own with a little bit of resources we have, because the studios that greenlight things, they have the money. You know, they're sort of like those, like, lobby the industry. They have the money, but they also have the control on, you know, what's greenlit, you know, how much actors get paid. Why is it that by season 5 and 6 for black women of television shows, specifically sitcoms, they have to go through extreme like levels of like advocating for themselves to be paid more contractually, like all these different things. And so you know, I see that popping up everywhere, different production companies and production studios where we're creating space, even like art workspaces where we're creating space to say, come in here, do your work, give what you can, and listen, your thing is now you have to pass it on to the next person and tell them to come in and do the same. You have to create that for them, because that's how we'll build our momentum. Because I, like, as much as I love Shirley Grant and all these different people, they had their young people they were raising up under them that they passed it on to next. And like I put in that post, very rarely did I see anyone on set look like me. Very rarely. I don't think I've ever done anything with a black director. I haven't. I've never done anything with a black director when I did film, when I did television. Never. And at that time, some of the biggest commercial directors who would direct commercials that looked like short films. I remember I went to Amsterdam Holland at that time. I had done a commercial with Marcus Carl Franklin, who was in Lackawanna Blues, and Tony Platano, who was in Weeds. And we flew to Amsterdam and we did,
you know, technical difficulties. That's what happens in the, when you're out here on these internet streets, you are at the mercy of these services. You're at the mercy of these streams. So hopefully she can get back on. Keep talking. Oh, they hear me. I never can tell when, you know, when technology fails. Thank you, Gary. I'm hoping that she can get back on, because I think she had a weak connection that dropped her out. You know, because Wi-Fi can be challenging depending on where you are, and we've seen this over and over and over again. Especially here, on Zoom. You can drop out if you're someplace where the Wi-Fi is not strong. So who among us has not had that issue? I was in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, a meeting that I really wanted to be at, because I was asked to speak about about the Freed Women's Fund, and I really wanted to speak to this particular audience. And I logged in, and for some reason I couldn't fully log in, and I stayed in limbo for a day. Like, I couldn't log out of their system. I couldn't go further in their system. I tried turning my phone off or turning off my I mean, I did all the things. It took so long for it to shut down. It was just ridiculous. It took like a day for me to get logged fully out of their system. But anyway, they invited me back. I think I'm going back sometime this week. So hopefully lightning doesn't strike twice. Hopefully I'll be able to talk to them and have a conversation with them share about the Freed Women's Fund. But right now I'm just waiting for hopefully Trinae could get in. Oh, there she goes. Yay, she's back. Hi. Oh, listen. All this technology,
like,
girl, listen.
It's
all this technology that is useful and not useful. All right, so tell me. So you left off at Amsterdam. Y'all flew to Amsterdam.
So we flew to Amsterdam, and I told you who the people were, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that was like the first time I had ever done something on set with black actors. And the director at the time was well known for directing like commercials that were like short films. It was for Chicken Tonight at that time. And so I realized, like, as I was looking back over my career when I was younger, I was like, few times I had been on set with black actors. One time it was with Kevin Clash, who played Elmo at the time. But like, I had never had a black director. And I was like, wow, this is important. I mean, even in college, I had a Latino professor, but I had never had a black professor, you know? And so, black acting professor. So, which was very difficult because, you know, now they have black acting methods, but it was so difficult for me to, one, learn in the space. And I posted this recently, but I felt like, one, I was very radical on college campus. I mean, that's where that racial, you know, my passion for racial justice ignited like I had never experienced before. So it's very radical. That's so I was already seen as like, exactly, and especially predominantly white ones. So I was always seen as like, this girl, like this, get Harriet out of here. Like that's kind of how I was. I was always seen as that. And so, you know, my senior year of college, I was in the car my last day, and I just cried. And I was like, wow, I didn't really reach the potential I felt I wanted to here, because I felt, even though I was strong in my cultural grasping and my identity, my white classmates made me feel inferior. And I had a few friends in the major, but it was only myself and another black woman. We had a re-audition for the program, so it wasn't that many of us to begin with, but I didn't have that. And so when I hear students say their parents, you know, we're just so glad that they have someone they can look up to who resembles them, who can teach them these things and encourage them with these things. And just even like introduce acting to them or improv is so important. And I know it is because I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So your production company, your acting school, do you have already productions in mind of what you want to do? How many students do you want to take on? Oh, yay! Yeah, yeah.
Can it's kind of a secret.
Oh, and I knew it, but but I'm glad to know that there's a production coming. So how many students do you ideally would like to have?
As many as I can get. So my space right now is, there's two sides to this. So there's this side and there's the other side of the space, which I've yet to work on. And so right now I tell people it's kind of small in size, but it's big in posture and goals. And I have to say this. I have kids who walk in here. I had a young man walk in here and he said, I want to be a director. He said, I want to direct for Warner Brothers and I want to go to Universal Studios and direct. And I had a little 9-year-old girl walking here. I said, what do you want? And she says, I want to be as big as Whitney Houston. So the size of space, the size is pretty small, but it doesn't minimize our bigness. And so my goal one day is to get as many students as I can. In my mind, like I want hundreds of students. I want a big school, like in my mind. But right now, just to be in compliance with everything, you know, our classes are smaller, which, you know, for session two, we'll offer more because, we had
a
wait list. Yeah. Classes start today.
Oh, congratulations. How many students you
Thank
got?
Thank you. Ooh, maybe like 45.
Wow.
Which was crazy starting out. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, so basically this is how it's looking. I have students for the session one and then session two. So in total, I would say, I mean, and there are parents knocking at the door. So we have improv class tonight, exploring the stage. Improv class, another exploring the stage class, that's tomorrow, monologue workshop, scene study, but way more little ones than we do the older ones. And then I have a lot of private coaching students. So yeah, I mean, already it's kind of crazy.
So where's your production studio? Where are you in West Haven? Are you housed in West Haven?
I'm in West Haven. So the acting studio is here, 413 Campbell Ave. And I am sort of looking for spaces around for productions, for the production studio. But as of right now, sort of, it's kind of interesting because even though I got my start in film and television, I'm kind of thinking about theater a little bit. So that's where we are. And I gratefully have connections with people. So I'm like, listen, like if I ever need to film something, can I come to you, you know, in New York, or can I come to you? And now I'm being connected to people in Toronto. So, I mean, it is, which film, they film a lot there. So the sky's the limit.
This is so fascinating and encouraging to me because I'm so happy that you're using your talents at home and not sort of taking years, because you can say, you know what, New York is where I need to be, or California or Atlanta or Toronto. But you're saying, you know what, we can do this in West Haven. There's talent here and kids here.
There's so many kids in talent here. Exactly. I had the day of the opening, a young girl walked from her home and flew here, like with her dad, and they asked no questions. They just signed up. And, the dad said, you know, this is my daughter's first time, you know, doing things, something like this. And he said, this is actually her first time doing anything outside of school. This is a very big deal. yeah. And she's like, I want to act, you know? So I wanted to be able to give kids what I went to New York for. One of the acting studios I used to go to study was Madeline Burns Performance Op. And the building was legit right next door to Jay-Z's Rock the Mic, his record company. And so we would go to class, we would see Rihanna, Kanye, Beyonce, Jay-Z, all these people. But I was grateful enough to have that experience. And I want to be able to afford students quality education, and not on a New York City price, you know, something that's affordable and reasonable, but that kids can come and learn the same things that I did when I was in workshops with casting directors from ABC and 21st Century Fox or 20th Century Fox and PBS and Sesame Street, Nickelodeon, and all these amazing people. You know, so that's sort of my goal here, and especially in West Haven. We don't have that. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? New Haven, the greater New Haven area is a very arts centered community.
Very, very. You
know? And I've been listening to black artists for a long time, talking about the very things that you're talking about. And here you are sort of building on yeah. these dreams and aspirations, and it's a beautiful thing to see. So I want you to know that you're welcome to come back here anytime you want and talk
about I
what
will
you're doing. Like, make this your home.
I will have
you back anytime to talk about what you're doing. And I want, like, when you start to produce, when you get ready to launch the production, I want you to come on and talk about it and what it looks
I
like.
I would love to. I would love to.
I'm excited, and I just am so excited for you.
Thank you.
And I hope you're feeling good. So now, is this your day? Have you given up your day job? Like, is this what you're doing full
time? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So let me tell you something. To every person dreaming, keep going, because I worked like three jobs at one point. I worked three jobs, and because every city is different. West Haven, when you rent or you buy or whatever space, you got to do everything. That's the truth of the matter. You got to do everything. And so last year in February, I was like, I got to pick up another job because I want to save, because I want to be able to, I have to launch this. Like, I feel it. And I went and got a job at the UPS store. I worked my college level job. I worked, you know, another side job, and I worked at the UPS store while I was on the council. And so people would come in and say, you know, you like, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. You know, they saw it as small, but my vision was so big. So I never, being in that space, I never ever, it wasn't too small for me to reach where I needed to go. And I ended up learning so much from the man who owned that business, so much. He showed me how to open a business, close a business. I'm not even talking about the keys. I'm talking about the money. Like, those are things that he taught me how to do, how to pay yourself, like just different things that were so important. So I needed to be there. And so even if, you know, with us sometimes as actors or whatever, I remember Lupita saying, Yale School of Drama oftentimes prepares you for a long career of waitressing, you know, but look at her. She ended up filming 12 years late before she even graduated, you know, so there are so many different things, or got the job before she graduated. So there are things that you may have to do. You might have to waitress or, you know, whatever it is, but don't give up on your goals and dreams. So this is my job. You know, I've made, obviously, sacrifices to be here. I have a great relationship with my parents, so I still live at home. Because I'm like, I might not have, the reality is, I might not have been able to do all of that, and, you know,
yeah,
but
pay
it was Ava DuVernay. That's right. And it was Ava DuVernay who, when she established her publication, her journalism company, she did the work for, journalism work for Dreamgirls, Spy Kids, and all these different things. She was 27. And she took out a mortgage to finance her film. And look where she is today.
Yeah.
So every step of the way is worth it, you know? And I'm very grateful. I'm so grateful and just humble, you know, honest, sincerely, because.
And you're a woman of faith. Like, I watch your posts. Yes, I follow you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Your whole family is a very faith driven family. And I know it has a lot to do with your steadfastness. So. Talk a little bit about what your faith is to you and how important it is.
My faith keeps me grounded. My faith keeps me humble. My faith checks me at the door. My faith checks my attitude. My faith keeps me loving people, because I always say, God, I want to do your work, and I just want to love people. Like, I don't care where they're from, where they're, what they struggle with, what they deal with, whatever. I just want to love people. And, you know, for me, it's one of those things where, you know, I have a community of people who surround me. You know, there's scripture that says one can chase 1,000, two could put 10,000 to flight. You can't do stuff by yourself, you know? And so my faith community, my theater community, all of them sort of intersect, and they really helped me to be the woman that I am today. And, you know, I have to share this story, but there's this woman who grew up in a church I used to go to when I was younger. And she said, came up to me and she said, you know, when you were 5 years old, you used to sing in the choir and you used to begin to weep, you used to cry. And she said, I tapped your grandparents and I said, she's crying for the souls of people. And so I've always had a tenderness for the souls of people. And so, yeah, I'm grateful. I am, to be able to do what I'm doing, and, you know, strong in my identity and knowing that, like, this is what keeps me. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for popping by.
You're welcome.
I want you to come back. I want you to make this.
I will be back.
I want you to, whenever you have something you want to talk about, a launch, I want you to come here, call me. You are on. Yeah. It becomes yours. Because I just value what you do. And if there's anything that I can do to be a part of it, if you need some help, I don't know what I can do. Need somebody to come sweep something. I got
that
you.
That is so funny. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for being such a strong voice in the community and, like, giving us a platform. Because one day, I'm going to come back with, like, my Tony and ask her.
Yes. Yes, girl.
I'm going to say, Babs, October 5th, or what's today, the 6th, I said this is going to happen, and it is.
Oh, I know it. Oh, listen, you've done spoken into existence, girl. I already see it. I'm just going to get my dress right now so I can be ready for the party.
Go get your sparkling dress.
Thank you so much, Ms.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Yes. You too. Talk to you soon.
Enjoy the rest of your day, my dear.
Thank you.
All right, Harry, we can go now. I've got my fill. She did an amazing, amazing, amazing. I just enjoyed this. Enjoy her so much. So, yes. All right, Harry, play us out. I know there's some PSA that's got to play. The wheel's doing. Keep on turning, people. I'll see y'all tomorrow. Oh, no, not tomorrow. We're not back tomorrow. Happy anniversary, Harry.
Thank you,
Happy anniversary tomorrow, Harry. Enjoy your time off. I'll be back in a week, people.
Yeah, exactly a week, right? Wednesday, next week.
Yes.
So,
all right. Congratulations. Enjoy yourself.